All right, so good morning. My name is Sharon. I am a postdoc at the USDA. I work with Ed Stover in the Scion Citrus Breeding Program. And today I'm going to talk to you a little bit about evaluation of commercial citrus cultivars for field tolerance to Wanglongbing in east central Florida. Now, a lot of you have probably heard this already. I'll just sort of go over it again in case there's some people coming in and have not actually heard of HLB, which would be pretty rare. But HLB, also referred to as citrus greening, is caused by a gram-negative bacterium, Candidatus liberibacter asiaticus. We also refer to it as CLAS. It's a phloem-limited bacteria, and it was first identified in Florida in August of 2005. It was first reported down in Miami-Dade, and since that time, it's spread throughout Florida and can now be found in all of the citrus-growing regions. It's vectored by the Asian citrus psyllus, and here we have the citrus psyllid here, or ACP, and the ACP is responsible for the initial infection as well as the spread of the disease from tree to tree. There's approximately 70 million commercial citrus trees in Florida, and it's thought to be up to 70% of the trees are infected with HLB. So it's a really serious problem. Why are we worried about HLB? Basically, HLB will result in tree decline and eventually death. Here is a picture of a Ray Ruby in one of our plots at the farm. And we can see that it's in a state of decline, sort of an intermediate level of decline. Probably at this point, this tree would not be producing fruit and would probably be removed at this point. If fruit is produced, it generally tends to be very bitter and small in size. We can see here that the fruit tends to also be very lopsided. And also, too, it may not color properly. You tend to find there's this green color, so it doesn't turn orange. This is also why we refer to it as citrus greening. You also have pre-harvest fruit drops, so a lot of the fruit will fall off the tree prior to harvest. Control. Generally, it's recommended a very aggressive insecticide spray program, usually multiple applications, and this is tried to control the citrus psyllid. So the thought is if you reduce the citrus psyllid, then you're going to reduce the HLB. We've also had some success with some antimicrobial treatments. It's fairly early stages. Also, thermal therapy, which we've already heard about. Tree removal tends not to be very common anymore. That was sort of our first initial attack to try to control the disease. Also, enhanced foliar nutritional programs. We've had some success. There's some debate whether or not that's actually helps to control the disease. Also, planting clean nursery stock. Now, there's currently really no HLB-resistant commercial cultivars available. However, we do see some field tolerance with some of the citrus varieties as well as some of the citrus relatives. Now, some growers have reported some field tolerance, mainly with the varieties Temple, Fall Glow, and Nova. So despite being having HLB, they tend to still grow fairly well and are productive and still yield decent quantities of fruit. Sweet orange, which is the majority of fruit grown here in Florida, tends to be among the most sensitive, so Hamlin and Valencia are susceptible to HLB. We do have some resistance in Ponceyrus trifoliata, which is a trifoliate. It's a citrus relative. And we see some resistance. It's a deciduous citrus, so it loses its leaves. But the fruit tends to be very small. It's very bitter. It's very seedy. It's not very edible. It just doesn't taste very good. But we use it a lot as a breeding parent, so it's in a lot of our lines that we cross. So we're trying to integrate the resistance from the Ponceyrus into the sweet orange varieties. So the objectives of the study were to evaluate field tolerance to HLB in several standard and non-standard commercial varieties and compare that to our standard sweet orange, and also to examine the effects of ADMIR on the growth and delay of disease development. So for the project, we had 7 Scion rootstock combinations, and these were all commercially available nursery plants. So this resulted in a diverse rootstock. And we can see here there's the list of the Scions and rootstocks, as well as their market classification. For Hamlin, which is our standard sweet orange variety, there were two rootstocks, Kankoji and Cleo. For the field planting, this was established in 2010, and this was established at our farm at Fort Pierce, Florida. Here's an aerial shot of the farm here. As Dr. Stover had mentioned, that at the farm we have very high epidemic levels of HLB, so we have very high disease pressure and abundant source of inoculum. We had about 20 trees per scion and rootstock, and we had Admire applied quarterly to a subset of these trees. For evaluations, for disease evaluation, we rate symptoms on a scale of 0 to 3, 0 being healthy, 3 being, the most severe symptoms. I just listed the model. We rate for three different types of symptoms. We rate model, yellow shoots, and rugose. And rugose is basically just sort of a tough, leathery type leaf. What happens in some of the varieties, the starch accumulates, and then it results in a very sort of rugose type leaf. Here we have the typical model symptoms. One of the symptoms that we see, too, that's not very typical of, say, blotchy model, is we tend to see these little green island effects. You can kind of see it there. Leaf tends to get chlorotic, and then you have these distinct green islands, and this happens in some varieties. And also, too, you can see a lot of times the symptoms will resemble nutrient deficiencies, so sometimes it can be kind of hard to rate. Growth, we measured height and stem diameter. We see two of our field guys out there rating some of the plants. For the Labarbacter detection and quantification, we used real-time PCR. We used two sets of primers, one for the bacteria, which was the Last Long, and then the one for the plant was citrus dehydrate. We extracted the DNA from the midrib tissues and petioles of asymptomatic and symptomatic leaves. And we just did that with a typical standard Qiagen kit. Okay, so what did we see? After 21 months, all the trees were symptomatic. They displayed symptoms, and they all tested positive for the bacteria. Here's a snapshot. I actually took this last week in the field. There's three of our varieties. We have Sugar Bell in the middle. And you can see Sugar Bell is actually one of the better varieties that we have. It tends to grow taller. It's a little more robust. It still is symptomatic, but it seems to be doing quite well. Fall Glow also doing quite well. You can see here, the side there, there's a Fall Glow. And then Hamlin is not doing as well as the other varieties. It's performing rather poorly. So if we take an average over the 21-month period, we look at disease symptoms, we see that Fall Glow, so at the top there in blue, tended to have the least amount of symptoms, whereas Ruby had very high modeling, and also, too, had very high for the rugose. You can see here that it's at 2.4. Sugar Bell, interesting to note there, despite having fairly high disease symptoms, it tended to grow the best. So if we look at the change in diameter, so we measure the diameter initially, and at the end of end of the study, we'd see that Sugar Bell increased the greatest. Now, there is seasonal variation in terms of symptoms as well as titer levels, which I'll talk about in a second. Here's typical for modeling. Basically, we saw it very high sort of in the late spring, in the fall, and then it slowly declines, and then now we're seeing it on the increase. The other thing you can note here is that Ruby, which is in blue, you can see here had the highest amount of model generally throughout the year. And Sugar Bell also tended to be very high throughout the year. Yellow shoots, I'm not going to talk too much about it. This is not a very good defining feature for HLB. We can see yellow shoots on the plant, but you can see it's very variable throughout the year. And then rugose, again, you can see clearly that that Ruby had the greatest amount of rugose. The titer levels, again, we see some seasonal variation. We tended to see the highest titer levels in November, December, and January. Also, too, Hamlin tended to have the highest titer levels, followed by Sugar Bell. So I'm briefly going to go over the effects of Admire. Again, we applied that to a subset of trees. Tango and Sugar Bell were not included in the study. We just had the Temple, Hamlin, Ruby, and Fallglow. But you can see here there's really no effect of ADMIRE treatment on disease development. So, you know, whether or not the tree got ADMIRE or not, it still developed modeling. We did see an effect of ADMIRE on the growth. It had a significant effect on diameter, as well as to some extent height. We could see that Fallglow, you know, treated with ADMIRE tended to grow larger, and this may be due to the fact that, you know, ADMIRE is an insecticide, so, you know, it might be preventing other insects such as leaf miners from feeding on it, and therefore it's tending to grow better. We also didn't see a significant effect of the rootstock on Hamlin. Here we see two trees of Hamlin on Kinkoji and Cleo, and you can see they're pretty much equal in their height and size as well as the disease severity. I did a redundancy analysis, which is essentially equivalent to a MANOVA, and what we see here is that the ADMIRE treatment had a significant effect on pretty much just Temple and to some extent Ruby, and then disease symptoms such as mottle and rugose really wasn't affected by the ADMIRE treatment. So just to summarize the results, basically we found that compared to Hamlin, Fallglow and Temple appeared to display field resistance, so we had very low titer levels, very low disease symptoms, so we were saying that it's most likely has some resistance. Sugar Bell, again, had fairly high bacterial titer levels, also tended to exhibit symptoms, but tended to grow the best and have appeared the most healthy out of all the trees, so we're saying that it has significant probably tolerance. Some of the trees have started to produce fruit, but the fruit was very small and tended to drop off before it was mature. So really the commercial value of the observed tolerance resistance still remains uncertain at this time. We figured mottle was probably the best measure for disease incidence compared to yellow shoots or rugose. And ADMIRE significantly increased height and diameter compared to the untreated trees, but did not have a significant effect on disease severity or titer levels. And I just want to acknowledge the funding for the project was provided from the Florida Citrus Research and Development Foundation, and then also to our lab crew as well. So I'll take any questions.
Sour orange, and you had a significant increase in the trunk diameter.
Mm-hmm.
Is that primarily the result of the sour orange rootstock, or did you mention Sugar Bell was looking good in its tolerance, but what is the influence of the sour orange rootstock?
Yeah, it may very well be the influence of the rootstock. When we designed the experiment, we didn't really understand the effect of rootstocks and scion combinations. But yeah, definitely the rootstock will have an effect on tree growth and overall health. So I definitely think it probably impact.
How often and how much did you treat with
ADMIRE? We did it quarterly, and it was at a rate of about 0.6 milliliters per tree.
If I can comment, for the first year, it was treated at full labeled rate, divided into
Yeah.
Thank you.